Well, good morning, Mansfield Christian Church. Happy Mother's Day to all the mamas out there. I was sure to call my mom and my grandmother this morning and wish them a happy Mother's Day, and they were both just delighted to get a call from their child and their grandson on a Sunday morning. And my grandma's first question was, "Are you on your way to church to preach?" And so I was able to tell her, "Yeah, I'm on my way." She said, "Well, go out and knock out a good sermon on Sunday morning." So that was just really a delight to talk to her this morning and to drive in a rather kind of crappy weather. It's been raining the last day and a half, so we'll see what that brings. So, we've been walking through this series of me just kind of preaching what I've been working on through the semester, and I have two Sundays left here before I go out to Colorado, and one of the sermons that I had kind of prepared earlier in the year, and I hadn't gotten around to preaching it yet, just fits so well for today. And it's based around the scripture in Proverbs about wisdom and finding wisdom from your parents, and how fitting of a day it would be to preach that on Mother's Day Sunday. And so I want to begin with a question. What are some lessons that your parents taught you? As I think about this myself, you know, it could be simple things like saying yes or no, ma'am, or brushing your teeth, or taking a shower every day. Or for me, it was more like how to drive a fence post into the ground, how to make sure that every dish in the dish drainer is clean, or you will end up washing every dish in the house, or even like how to tie a few fishing knots. Those are lessons that my parents taught me. And I want you to think, as you're thinking through these lessons right now, just think about how they've impacted and shaped your life over the years. Like, have you forgotten the things that your parents have taught you? Have you changed kind of a little bit? One of the things that my mom always told me is the things that irritate you the most as a child that I did to you will often be the things that you'll do to your kids. And so that's always made me laugh, and it's something to look forward to, I suppose. There's a funny thing. My grandmother, she's awful with names. And so when we were kids, I remember she would go through the names of everybody. She would be trying to talk to you, and she'd be like, "Larry, nope, Daniel, nope, Timothy, nope, Chris." And she'd finally get to you, and one of my cousins one time just looked at me and said, "Just be patient, she'll get to you eventually." And so my mom used to make fun of her or kind of tease her about it. Now my mom does the same thing. So hopefully one day I can remember everybody's name still and not cycle through them. But I was thinking about the things that were super important that my mother taught me, like how to separate the colors from the whites when I do my laundry. I wish a few more Ozark students would learn that. Maybe there'd be a lot less pink shirts running around campus. Or how to cook something in the microwave. Unfortunately, a couple of weeks ago, there was a kid that tried to cook ramen noodles in the microwave with no water, and then we all had to proceed to go outside at 2 in the morning because the fire alarm was going off. Man, would it have been great if his mom would have taught him how to cook. But as I was kind of thinking about this, we get this picture from Solomon, the prophet of wisdom, the man that built the temple for God. We get this wisdom today that he would tell us not to forget what our parents taught us. So I think there's a few points to kind of, or information to kind of bring out, to flesh out of the text before we jump in today. And this, in my research, this text brings out the urgency of parental love by showing that a father and mother, not a pastor or governing official, has the most potent and profound responsibility to lead a young man or woman in the right way. So I think that's critical for us to understand when we explore this text today. And also, this passage shows how wisdom is a crucial inheritance passed down from generation to generation. So if you'll turn, take some time, turn to Proverbs 4. That's where we're going to be at today. We'll pick up in verse 1 and then walk through verse 5. So beginning in verse 1, he says, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instructions. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning so you do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and he said to me, 'Take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them.'" See, I think we get two clear implications here of why we shouldn't forget what our parents taught us. We should remember those lessons that we've learned throughout our life. And I think the first one is rather simple, and it's we shouldn't forget because it was good instruction. Now, whether it was a hard lesson to learn or a good, easy lesson, something that brought you joy, those are both important in their own rights. I think of some of the hard lessons I learned over my life. Most of them resulted in a pat or a nice hard tap on my rear end, but they were all worth it. In fact, I was thinking of one that really helped shape me. When I was a child, I was about 5 years old. My parents were driving to take us to McDonald's to go get some food. And I, for some reason, thought it would be a good idea to open the van door while we were driving down the road. And so Mom and Dad thought it would be a good idea to pull over on the side of the road and let me know that opening the van door was not a good idea. So they take me to the back of the van and proceed to give me a whooping, and here comes the state trooper right behind him. Pulls up right behind him with his lights flashing, gets out of the car and asks what I did. And so my parents proceed to tell him, you know, hey, we were driving down the road, he opens the van door, not very safe. We're just trying to teach him not to open the van door. And the state trooper with a smile on his face said, okay, proceed. He's earned it. Gets back in his car and leaves. And then I got the butt whooping of a lifetime. And I learned never to open the van door again. I think my parents also that day learned what child safety locks were. And so those were on too. So I wasn't opening the door anymore. But see, the physical pain there was only temporary. My butt only hurt for a few minutes. I cried maybe for 5 minutes. But the knowledge gained lasted my entire life. The things that my parents had taught me have shaped me throughout my life to get to where I'm at today. And I think the second clear implication of this text is we shouldn't forget because it will lead us to life. I think that this is pretty clear in the text, but I don't think we should forget it. I recall the story of my mom and dad just taking me to church as a child and just devoting, teaching me about God and leading me in that life, and how that led to life. And in fact, every time I go to my home church that I grew up, they have the really funny, embarrassing story of me. Apparently, when I was 2 years old, I don't remember this, but they were getting ready to do the pastoral prayer, and apparently I decided to let out a burp loud enough for the whole congregation to get woken up as a little baby. And so that's everybody at church's favorite memory to talk about. All the people that are in their 90s that have been there since I was a little baby love every time they see me to tell me that story as if I hadn't already heard it 500 times. But see, their goals of teaching me how to live a healthy life by teaching me how to do the things that would make me successful is similar to what our Heavenly Father does for us. He teaches you the lessons that He wants you to know so that you can eventually get to eternal life. See, I like this idea of these lessons when we look at the life of Paul. As you know, he was a mercenary persecuting Christians, killing Christians, and then something miraculous happened. God taught him a lesson. See, he was on his road, on the road to Damascus, if you can recall, in the book of Acts, and all of a sudden he's blind. And God, through miraculous intervention, walks with Paul and gets him to convert, and then he can see again, and then he goes on to become one of the greatest missionaries the church has ever and probably will ever see. I wonder if sometimes when we get the hard lessons in our lives, do we just continue to cry, or do we put our chin up and say, okay, God, I see what you're doing here. Let me change my heart to the way you want it and continue my life that way, like we see in the life of Paul. Or maybe we're more like Samson. When he got the challenges from God, he just continued to go against God's will. He continued to do the opposite of what his father asked him to do. If you recall, you know, he starts out as such a good man, and God says, do not cut your hair. That's where your strength comes from. And oh boy, he falls in love with that girl Delilah. And she's no good for him. But, you know, as you can recall, we don't often like to listen to our parents. And so he cuts her hair, and then he goes, and that starts him down a crazy path. And in the end, he gets redeemed. But he failed to live like his father wanted him to. See, we can't forget the lessons taught, the good, the bad, because it allows history to repeat itself in order to create an excellent godly family dynamic. We must remember what our parents taught us. If we want to create that generational faith, that faith that flows from generation to generation to generation, we have to be the ones to continue that line. In fact, I have many people in my family that aren't believers, and so my goal is to teach my children about God someday, and then for them to teach their children about God. But how can I teach my children about God if I'm not listening to what God's taught me? So I just encourage you to be in the Word, to learn what God's trying to tell you, so that way you can carry it on to the next generation. Yeah, you know, there's a funny story I was remembering as I was kind of working on this, and I don't know about many of you, but my father and my mother and my grandmother and my grandfather taught me to say sir and ma'am. Every time it was, hey, I need you to go out and load some square bills. Yes, sir. Or I need you to go do the dishes. Yes, ma'am. So you can imagine when we got to basic training, the drill instructors are not called sir or ma'am. And they hate that when you call them that, because that's what you call an officer. And I remember this one kid, he was from South Carolina, just a farm kid. He was kind of Gomer Pyle, if you will, not exactly the brightest crayon in the box, but he was trying, and he was just an old farm kid, and he had the toughest time not saying sir or ma'am. Every time they would come up and say something to him, he would say, oh, yes, sir, and they'd be like, oh, you don't call me that, and he'd be like, oh, yes, sir, just again and again. And so he used to have a rough couple of months. But eventually, he learned his lesson, and he quit saying sir or ma'am. But see, that's the thing that we need, because, like, he was saying sir or ma'am because he was taught to do that as a sign of respect, and the drill sergeants were trying to break him of it. And eventually he got broken of it. But every time I saw him after basic training, it would still serve man with everyone else except for the drill sergeants. See, that generational thing taught to him, this generational idea of respect was taught to him, and he carried it on. See, we should be doing the same thing with the way we represent Christ. We should instill it in a way that someone has to continuously try to take that away from you to where your faith doesn't waver. See, that kid would say, yes, sir, ma'am, and he would get punished, and he would still say it over and over again because it was a part of his identity. We need to live our lives where our identity is Christ over and over again. When the enemy comes, we need to say, yes, sir, to the enemy. Yes, my identity is in Christ. And every time he keeps coming, our identity still needs to remain the same. See, I think we need to teach our kids in a way that reflects Christ's love and points our family and our friends and our cousins and our uncles and anybody else that we come in contact with to the one who has saved us, the one who has offered us eternal love, eternal grace, eternal life. When we honor God the way that we honor our mother, that's when he finds joy in what we do. So I just encourage you with this thought for this week. Don't forget what your mama taught you.